You're listening to Sipping on Some Crime podcast, hosted by Aaron. This podcast covers sensitive and triggering subjects, explicit language, and mature content which may not be suitable for children. As always, all parties are innocent until proven guilty.
Today, I will be covering the case of Donna Lee Dustin. This will be a TikTok episode, which you can also find the TikTok linked in the show notes. From the Sipping on Some Crime podcast, and I wanted to take a moment today to tell you about Donna Lee Dustin. This is actually a case from my own backyard. This happened in Anne Arundel County, Maryland. Donna, 17, would last be seen talking to two men at a party in Bowie, Maryland. Less than 8 hours later, her remains would be found by hunters, and 51 years later, her case is still unsolved. Donna was the oldest in her family. She did have a younger brother named Alan, and she was very well known and a popular girl, especially in high school. November 16th, 1973, Donna and a friend were staying at Donna's house while her parents and her little brother were in Disneyland in Florida. That evening, Donna and her friend had plans to go to an ice cream parlor on a double date. Donna put on a red-brown checkered blouse, new pair of dungarees, gold shoes, gray pantyhose, and a brown leather bag with a Mexico stamp on the back. Based off an affidavit in New York court, Donna would drop her date off around 1:30 and tell them that she wanted to continue partying and drinking. Donna would last be seen at a party in Bowie talking to two older men, who witnesses say she left the party with. In 2000, it would later be reported in the Washington Post that investigators actually believe Donna left with a group of men, around four or five, and that they all went back to Donna's house to party and drink. These men that Donna presumably left with were much, much older than her classmates. Donna and her friends did hang out with their typical high school friends. They also had a group of older men that attended parties and would hang around their friend group, as this was their connection to drugs and alcohol. It would be the following day, on the 17th at 10:30 a.m., that Donna's remains would be discovered by two hunters 3 miles from her home in an abandoned gravel pit off Meyer Station Road, 100 feet inside the Anne Arundel County line. Based on Donna's autopsy, they believe that she was assaulted multiple times at multiple locations by multiple men. Throughout the investigation, investigators will question over 200 people, bring some of those witnesses in front of a grand jury, and had 16 men provide DNA samples. While the investigation stalled pretty quickly from the beginning, there'd be a tip in 1999 that would leave investigators looking for a man from New York and a man from Florida. The man from Florida was now a convicted sex offender, and the man from New York had a record of sex offenses dating back to 1965. According to court documents, at one time, the Florida man would tell investigators that him and the man from New York were in Bowie the same dates that Donna was murdered, and they were driving around with a pack of Schultz beer looking for girls to pick up. The Schultz beer would be an important detail to investigators because Schultz beer caps were found in Donna's parents' home on stools in the living room. Witnesses would also tell investigators that this Florida man was at the party with Donna, had left, and had returned to the party at some point without Donna. There were even witnesses that stated the next day that the Florida man appeared to work the next day, disheveled, wearing the same clothes from the night before, and that he had burrs and stains and plants and thickets all over his clothes. As far as the man from New York, we do know at some point they attempted to collect DNA from this man, and he refused and hired an attorney. However, the New York man's attorney states that he was ruled out of Donna's case due to the fact that he supplied DNA samples and they didn't match. But I can't find a statement anywhere from investigators saying that they have ruled him out. In 2008, investigators were not willing at the time to give an update on where they stood with the New York man or the Florida man when it came to Donna's case. They just said that Donna's case has, quote, expanded, unquote, since then, and the case is still open and being investigated. In 2008, Captain Waldemeyer decided to attend Donna's high school reunion in hopes to generate new tips and speak to new witnesses. After the reunion, Waltemeyer would state that he didn't gain any new tips. However, he did get a list of new possible witnesses to speak to. In that same week, just a few days after the high school reunion, Donna's mother, Dolores, would pass away of an irregular heartbeat at the age of 74 without ever seeing her daughter's case solved. The investigators in Donna's case felt the weight of that loss, saying, quote, "Our goal is to get family members the answers. And when one of them dies before you do that, it's certainly upsetting. But it doesn't deter us from continuing to pursue the case," unquote. Unfortunately, today, this is where Donna's case still sits. The answers most likely lie within that community, and there might be someone that saw something that they didn't even know they saw. Some piece of the puzzle that might finally help solve this case. This is one of Maryland's oldest unsolved cases, and it's beyond time that it was solved. And the best way you can bring her justice is to continue sharing her face and her case as much as possible, and hopefully with enough exposure, they can generate some new leads. Of course, as always, I will have sources and information links on Donna's case on the Sipping on Some Crime website for those of you who would like to share Donna's story or learn more about her case. And don't forget, when you see those missing and murdered posts on social media, click like, share, and retweet. Every time we share a face, we get closer to solving a case. Until next time.